Good afternoon. Joining me today are former CDC Director, Dr. Robert Redfield, Maryland Secretary of Health, Dennis Schrader, and Deputy Secretary for Public Health, Dr. Jinlin Chan. Last February, when I convened and led a meeting of top federal officials and the nation's governors in Washington to learn more about the potential threat of a new novel coronavirus, that briefing was led by then CDC Director Dr. Robert Redfield, and I got the chance to work together with him throughout the pandemic. When we met here in Annapolis in January, shortly before he left office, I was pleased to hear that he planned to return home here to Maryland, where he co-founded the University of Maryland's Institute of Human Virology and served as the Chief of Infectious Diseases and as Vice Chair of Medicine at the University of Maryland School of Medicine. And we began discussions which resulted in our announcement today that Dr. Redfield has agreed to join our team and to serve as Senior Advisor for Public Health, where he will advise us on a wide range of immediate priorities, including planning our response to the coronavirus variants, our COVID-19 vaccine campaign, and our science-based plan for fully and safely reopening our state, as well as all areas of public health. From the very beginning of this crisis, I have always emphasized how important it is to follow the science and to get the best advice from the medical experts. And we're very fortunate to have such a renowned expert as Dr. Redfield, that he has returned to Maryland and that he's agreed to join our world-class team of doctors and public health experts. And with that, I'm happy to turn the podium over to Dr. Redfield.
Well, thank you very much, Governor. It's great to return to Maryland and to be able to continue to contribute and serve as a member of your team. Over the last year, I had the opportunity to observe the COVID response in all the states in our nation. And I do want to say this again, Governor Hogan. I want to congratulate you for your effective leadership, which I really think has been a model for our nation. I want to also just take a moment to encourage all Marylanders to get vaccinated when it is their turn. Vaccines are the most important gift of science to modern medicine. And today we have three approved COVID vaccines, the Pfizer, Moderna, and now the J&J. All three of these vaccines are highly effective in preventing serious disease, hospitalization, and death. Yesterday, I had the opportunity to visit the M&T Bank Stadium vaccination site, and it was very impressive. But what was most important to me was seeing one individual after another embrace vaccine with confidence. I want to encourage all Marylanders and all Americans to embrace vaccine with confidence and not leave it on the shelf for yourself, your family, or your community. This single act will help save lives, and it will allow you to do your part to helping us all bring this pandemic to an end. And finally, Governor, again, I want to thank you for giving me an opportunity to serve. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Thank you, Doctor. Maryland begins the month of March with more of our kids going back to school, more businesses reopening and expanding, and with far fewer people getting infected and hospitalized. Over the last 8 weeks, our positivity rate has dropped by more than 67% to 3.35%, which is the lowest level since October 25th. Our case rate per 100,000 has dropped by more than 75% to 13.1, which is also the lowest rate since late October. We went from all 24 of our counties being in the federal red zone for case rates to now having zero counties in the red zone. Our hospitalizations have dropped from nearly 2,000 to fewer than 900 for the first time since early November. The number of nursing homes with active cases has dropped by 57% since the peak in mid-December. Yesterday, we hit a critical milestone with more than 40% of Marylanders ages 65 and over having been vaccinated, one of the very first states in America to hit this mark. Maryland providers have now administered 1,362,758 vaccines, 250,110 just over the last 7 days. We're now averaging a new record of 35,730 shots per day, an increase of more than 1,100%. We've administered 97.8% of all of the first doses we have received and 86.4% of all doses that we have received from the federal government. Friday's FDA approval of a third safe and effective vaccine is quite literally providing an immediate shot in the arm for Maryland and the rest of the country. And it was made possible by the groundbreaking cooperation between leading medical experts and pharmaceutical companies as part of the process that Dr. Robert Redfield oversaw and led at the CDC. This single-dose Johnson & Johnson vaccine is being manufactured right here in Maryland at the Emergent BioSolutions facility in East Baltimore. For more than a month, I've been pushing the White House to get other manufacturers to help with the production of some of the approved vaccines. And I was pleased to hear on White House officials this morning on a call with the governors that Merck will now be helping to produce Johnson & Johnson vaccines, which is something that we've been pushing for. Maryland is receiving an initial allocation of 49,600 of Johnson & Johnson. These doses will be deployed across the state this week, including to mass vaccination sites, hospitals, community health centers, pharmacies, and local health departments. Providers will begin to receive their shipments of Johnson & Johnson as early as today. I want to caution Marylanders that this is only an initial allocation. The federal government shipped the entire inventory that it has on hand. And this morning on the call with White House officials, they informed us that no Johnson & Johnson vaccine at all will be shipped next week or the week after that. They're promising that by the 18th, we will be getting another shipment. I can assure you that whatever supply we are able to receive, we are ready to immediately deploy and to get into the arms of Marylanders. White House officials assured governors today that they are working to increase the supply of all vaccines by the end of March and throughout April and May, which will enable us to accelerate the expansion of our state-run mass vaccination sites. This week, the mass vaccination site at Six Flags America in Prince George's County will double from 2,000 to more than 4,000 shots per day. The mass vaccination site at M&T Bank Stadium in Baltimore City will ramp up ahead of schedule this week to doing 2,000 shots per day. With the M&T Bank site now operational, the Baltimore Convention Center mass vaccination site will now expand its focus and will prioritize underserved communities in Baltimore City. And we will also see more than 100% increase from 400 to more than 1,000 shots per day. The Southern Maryland mass vaccination site at the Blue Crab Stadium in Charles County will now open this Thursday, March 4th, which is 1 week ahead of schedule. Initial appointment slots will be made available starting this evening. The Eastern Shore mass vaccination site at the Wicomico Youth and Civic Center in Salisbury will open no later than Thursday, March 18th. And Tidal Health has been selected as the clinical partner for this Eastern Shore site. We have finalized site acquisition on the Western Maryland Mass vaccination site, which will be located at the Premium Outlets in Hagerstown, and which will open by the end of this month. Meritus Hospital will be the clinical partner for the Western Maryland site. This will give us at least one mass vaccination site in every region of the state, which can administer thousands of shots per day. In addition, state health and emergency management officials are in active discussions with several other counties that have expressed interest in partnering on additional state mass vaccination sites. Expanding the hours, the capacity, volume, and the number of mass vaccination sites is all contingent on future increases in supply from the federal government. With this week's incremental increase in supply, we were able to increase our allocations to providers all across the state. This week, both hospitals and local health departments received increases in their allocations. This includes increases in the allocated doses of Pfizer and Moderna, and each local health department and community health center will also receive an initial allocation of Johnson & Johnson. But once again, the federal government is not able to ship any Johnson & Johnson vaccine for the next 2 weeks. We have advised the hospitals and local health departments that we are prepared to consider further increases to their vaccine allocations in future weeks if they are able to utilize them. Providers will be required to administer all of the doses that they receive within 1 week of delivery in order to be prioritized for an increase in allocation. The goal here is to get the vaccine from the federal government deployed out immediately and into the arm of a person who needs it. Doses cannot be allowed to sit on shelves or in freezers while hundreds of thousands of people are desperately trying to schedule an appointment for a vaccine. If any provider is unable to meet this standard of utilizing doses in the same week that they are received, state health officials will work with them to either transfer their doses or to pause their allocation shipments until they're able to catch up. Our expanding statewide network now includes 2,381 distribution points. And following both the federal and state vaccination plans, we intend to continue to broaden this distribution network to ensure as many points of access as possible in every single county, with an infrastructure capable of doing up to 100,000 shots per day, just as soon as they are made by the manufacturers and are allocated to us by the federal government. You can find a list of providers in your area at covidvax.maryland.gov. And for residents without internet access, the COVID-19 Vaccination Support Center is available 7 days a week at 1-855-MD-GOVAX. We have now vaccinated more than 40% of our eligible population, including many of our most vulnerable Marylanders. However, I know how frustrating this is for the many other people who are currently eligible and cannot yet schedule appointments, because there are no vaccines available for them. The pace of daily vaccination is hitting a new high every day. A third safe and effective vaccine is now available. A next potential fourth vaccine is in phase 3 clinical trials, which is also being made right here in Maryland at Novavax in Gaithersburg. And we're using every tool at our disposal to get shots into arms. And we will not rest until a vaccine is available to every single Marylander who wants one so that we can bring this pandemic to an end once and for all. With that, I'd be happy to take a few questions.
Governor, how do you respond to the continuing criticisms of at least a 60 Minutes piece and a letter written by two former health secretaries that Maryland's vaccination efforts have not gone as well as the state would like to go?
Yeah, well, I'm concerned about some of those reports, and we're trying to do the best job we can. We're trying to get to the bottom of it. As of today, I think we've done more than 28 other states. Number of vaccines, we're 22nd. I'd rather be number one. We have discussions with the White House and the CDC. One thing I think that is causing a problem, we couldn't figure out how we had done 99.7% of all the doses we had, and yet we were somehow showing up lower in a ranking of percentages of allocations used. And we're still trying to get to the bottom of it with the White House and the CDC, but apparently there are about 230,000 doses that the federal government has sent to federal agencies where they've only utilized maybe 60,000 of them, and they were being counted as coming to Maryland, but we had no control over them. But we're trying to get to the bottom of it. We're trying to do the best we can. As I said, we've utilized just about every single one we have, and we're doing the best we can, and we're doing better than most states.
Last week at M&T Bank, you said that Baltimore City has gotten more access to vaccines than the city was entitled to, but the data shows the city residents were lagging, and your department has made some corrective actions to try and get some more shots to people in the city. So what did you really mean by that comment?
Well, the question last week was about the mayor had said that the city was getting less than they should have been allocated, and my comment was simply a factual one, saying that the city actually had a higher allocation. They had the number one allocation, as opposed to they were the fourth highest population, but they received the most allocation. But look, I know there are concerns about the way it was misinterpreted. We've been very focused on equity. That's why we made some announcements very early on. We appointed General Burkhead to head up a task force. We asked all of our local partners, particularly in Baltimore City and Prince George's County, to work with us on an equity plan. It's why we announced our equity effort with all of the leaders in Baltimore City about a month ago. It's why we set up two mass vaccination sites there. It's why I just said we're making the convention center focused on Baltimore City residents. General Burkhead and Lieutenant Governor were in Baltimore City at churches this weekend. We're going to continue to go into the community. We've done far better than most other states in the country with respect to that, but it's not good enough. And that's why this Thursday, General Burkhead is going to, we're going to have a press conference where we lay out a very detailed plan, an operational logistics plan, statewide plan on equity, and it's going to be the first one in America. And we're going to continue to work on that problem.
I have a question for you.
And my comments were factual.
And Dr. Redfield, since the beginning of the pandemic, you have stressed we have science-based and all about the facts. But Dr. Redfield, during your tenure at the CDC, public trust in that agency was declined drastically. Mask wearing became politicized. There were conflicting health messages from the administration, including your boss, the president. Bring on someone whose tenure came during a time when science was politicized? And Dr. Redfield, what do you have to say to Maryland residents to reassure them that that won't happen here?
Well, first, let me just say that I was very proud of Dr. Redfield's leadership at the CDC. It's under his leadership, he was on the Operation Warp Speed board that made these incredible accomplishments that are enabling us to save lives right now. Under the CDC guidance is what we followed throughout the entire pandemic and the great advice that they promulgated. I mean, I'm not going to sit here and defend everything that the president said or did or relitigate the past, and I'm not sure Dr. Redfield wants to do that either. But I don't think most of that criticism was ever directed at him or any of his leadership of that agency, which I think I'm very proud of. I don't know if you want to respond, Bob.
I would just echo that I continue to be proud of the CDC and the men and women there. I think contrary to what some people use as the storyboard, I think it remains the most premier public health agency in the world. We generated literally, thousands of pages of recommendations to the American public, of which they accessed literally millions and millions, and I think in some of the records, almost billions of times. So I'm proud of what we did. We did put science first. I am, if anything, that I was disappointed of during my time at CDC, was the inconsistency of messaging. And clearly, it's really important in public health, and you all are so fortunate with Governor Hogan to have that public health message echoed by civic leaders. And we stood for that. And across the country, Unfortunately, there were a number of civic leaders that didn't echo the public health message, but I stand by the time I led the agency. I think we, again, this was the greatest public health crisis in this nation for over a century, and I think we did respond in a manner which helped advance the efforts to get this pandemic under control.
I wouldn't describe it as a reprieve because they would say, oh, you know, we really want to get some more, but yeah. There's not a whole lot of detail. It's simply that it takes a while to ramp up production because we were so desperately in need of vaccines. They simply pushed out. They've been manufacturing these for many months, waiting for the approval, and then they just shipped out every single one they had in the 1 week. And now they have to catch back up again, and they just wouldn't have any more. The next shipment won't come for another 18 days.
Governor, you've talked a lot about the importance of moving the vaccine and what you might do where it's stocking up on shelves. Have there been any recipients where you pause them or actually transfer back where it's gone beyond just kind of the verbal?
Just recently we worked together with under a federal program that for the long-term care facilities that the Walgreens and CVS had a large supply, more than they needed, and we worked together with them in a partnership. Just as of Friday, we got back from them about 25,000 doses, which we're going to be able to reallocate to others. It was not that they were not doing a good job. It was that they had more than they needed after getting out and doing all the clinics across the state, and rather than sitting in a freezer, we're now sending them out to somebody that's going to put them in somebody's arm in the next few days.
Governor, I wanted to ask you, as someone who's been chairman of the National Governors Association during a time of pandemic and knows the significance of that role, given what's happening in New York with Governor Cuomo, do you think he should step down from that position?
Look, I think obviously these are serious allegations against the governor, and they need to be looked into. There's no question about that. These women who've come forward have to be listened to, and we have to find out. But there's been no discussion. Governor Cuomo led the call today with the White House and all the governors. I've had no discussion with any other governors about what his role in the NGA should be. I think we'll wait and see how this thing progresses.
Governor, I wanted to ask about the contracts that we're learning about as far as the state of Metro, what terms can you have, the CMI, the call center, and then logistics. When did this contract really come about, and why do you think it's necessary for the state to work with Ernst & Young and the call center? And are there other emergency contracts that the public doesn't know about right now?
Lots of emergency contracts. They all go before the Board of Public Works. They've all been unanimously approved so far. Ernst & Young is helping in a number of respects, helping with the data, the issue that we just talked about. They helped us identify where the extra doses were, how many the long-term care facilities needed, where could we claw them back and reallocate, who's doing a better job of actually getting the doses in arms. They identified this problem with the federal government where there were a couple of 100,000 doses they were showing on our website that we knew nothing about, that we have no control over, that we're now trying to get the White House and the CDC to fix. So Ernst & Young is earning their keep. They're helping us find potentially tens of thousands of doses that we can now maybe utilize, and we're very pleased with their services.
Governor, obviously you have reached out to the consultants for help. And we continue to get complaints, right? People that are just so frustrated with COVID vax on their own. And you predicted that there would be complaints. There always are. Are you satisfied yourself as the leader of this entire effort that it is going as smoothly as it possibly can, and it is just that we lack the doses right now? And what do you say to those folks that are just frustrated?
Well, I understand. I completely understand the frustration. I'm frustrated. Everyone up here is frustrated. Everyone at the White House is frustrated. Everyone in America is frustrated. There are about 1 million people who are currently eligible for the vaccine who we cannot schedule for a vaccine. But it's not about a website or a process. It's about the fact that there aren't any vaccines. So I know how frustrating it is, and everybody wants a quick fix, but the bottom line is you can't schedule vaccines for vaccines that don't exist. And so we're all working. It's certainly not a perfect process by any means, but yes, I'm convinced that everyone's working as hard as they can, and that we've got as good or better a process than anybody else in the country.
Governor Hogan, you updated the number, 230,000 doses of vaccines that exist that the country, your administration was told about. Were they sent to federal agencies in Maryland? Are those agencies supposed to be administering them?
We just found out about this in the White House, and the CDC can't really give us answers on it. So we don't have any more information than I gave you, other than Thursday night disappeared on our website. We didn't know what they were. And they said they think they belong to five different federal agencies, but they weren't sure. And they're going to get back to us. And we have another meeting, I think, tomorrow scheduled with them to try to get to the bottom of it. We don't know exactly, but they allocated them to Maryland, but they did not send them to us. Well, we've been working on it throughout the entire effort. We were the first, I think, state in America to start tracking race. We were the first ones to focus on that in an equity effort on testing. And we're the first ones in America to work on a statewide plan. So it's not only now or we're behind. We've known this has been an issue. But we just, now we're getting the vaccines and we're seeing how it's working and how it's not working and how we can improve. And it's improving every week. Prince George's County, for example, is, we sent the National Guard. We opened up multiple centers. We've gone into the community. We've pushed more pharmacies. And we've had a 250% increase just in the past week. So we're going to continue to try to make improvements. And we're going to do the same thing in Baltimore City.
Last question.
Thank you, Governor. You mentioned about the push to visit the vaccination sites where they're local. And you got mentioned yesterday.
Well, we made a great effort in that regard, and General Burkhead will talk a lot more about that on Thursday. She's been working daily with Prince George's County and Baltimore City, and they've taken a great many steps already, but they're going to take even more. We'll let you know.